Welcome to the True Detox Podcast with Ryan and Craig, where we talk to the experts to identify strategies to detox your life.
All right, welcome to another episode of the True Detox Podcast. My name is Craig Randall.
And I'm Brennan Rooks.
Got a new sidekick today. I'm usually the sidekick, so I don't know what I'm going to do. But we got Brennan Rooks with us today. And the reason why Brennan is here will be made evident later as we have this conversation with our special guest today, Brad Gibb. Brad Gibb is an entrepreneur and a wealth strategist. He is one-third of the brains behind CashflowTactics.com with his business partners, Ryan Lee and Jimmy Vreeland. And we're really excited to have Brad on because of the topic. Most of our conversations for True Detox have revolved around body health, our body, mind, and spirit. And environment is one of those as well. And one of the things that I think ties into our environment is our financial wellness and how we relate to people in our home. Obviously, it can affect our physical health as well. But we're super excited to have Brad on because he is going to touch and tackle on that kind of sub point of that touches on one of our main, two or three of our, maybe our main pillars in True Detox, and that is our financial wellness. So Brad, welcome to the True Detox Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me here. I'm very excited. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And so give us a little backstory. Why do you know so much about money and cash flow tactics? And why do you know the things that you know? How did you get to where you are today?
Man, that is a loaded question. I'm not sure how deep you want to go down that rabbit hole, but the honest truth is I am a giant, huge nerd is really what it comes down to. I always became intrigued with the conversation of money all the way back as a young kid, but I decided that if one degree was good, three or four was better. So I got undergrad in accounting. I got a master's in accounting. I added an econ and a stats degree on top of that. Just cause I don't know, like I said, I'm a huge nerd and I love numbers. I love math. I love money. I love finance. I love taxes. And I just couldn't get enough. So I kept going until, they basically kicked me out and said, it's time to go out and do something with all of this. And, so that's where it all started. But, I decided to cut my teeth and my timing was awesome. I decided to cut my teeth on Wall Street, started at Goldman Sachs, just exiting 2007 and entering 2008. So yeah, needless to say, my timing was pretty good, right?
Got this image of The Big Short sticking in my head.
it really was almost that. Our offices were downtown New York City, and right next door to us was Lehman Brothers and their office. And when they collapsed, which was kind of the nail in, or the straw that broke the camel's back, that really just kicked everything into a full-flown depression. We were right next door, and the day they went bankrupt, we were walking into work and they were filing out with cardboard boxes. So we were there at ground zero, really living that experience.
So Brad, you said something interesting in your backstory that really sticks out to me. You said, I love money, but I know as I've researched a little bit of kind of who you are and what your business is all about, that you don't love money because of the way that most people would think you love money. I love money because I want big bags of cash laying around my house because I want to show my fat stacks.
Swim
to me,
in it.
Right?
Yeah.
So
Scrooge
why,
McDuck.
Tell me why you love money and how you view money.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you stopped me and corrected because that could definitely be taken wrong. Money for me has never been anything more than a means to an end, right? It's a tool for me to get my outcome. Just like I think you guys would agree that food first and foremost is fuel for our bodies, right? That's what it should. That's the way we could look at that. I look at money the same way. It's the thing that fuels the life that matters to me that I want to build. And so I was always interested in how to use it as a tool rather than to just simply have the accumulation or the outcome of money be the focus. So yeah, we definitely take, or I've always taken that unique stance on it. And when we look at it as I want to build something that matters. I want to build and live a life that I care about. We start to make decisions very differently inside the game of money for sure.
So, you know, it's funny, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the characters in It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, right? Mm-hmm. Jimmy Stewart, I think, would subscribe to your financial philosophy. It's a means to an end. It's a tool to help. It's a tool to enable. And the guy that kept trying to buy him out and, you know, got him basically in the poorhouse because he was unscrupulous was basically the guy who said, I want to have you know, money because I want to have stacks of money just laying around, stacks of money, and doing it for the wrong reasons. So I love that. I love the concept. I love the idea of it's a means to an end. It's a tool, and it's a tool in the toolbox, right? There are other tools.
Yep.
But money is one of them. And yeah, it all started with the money is the root of all evil, right? You know, somebody put that in the Bible, I think. It's like, oh no, we can't have money. Oh, you're going to be a horrible person. So how do I follow the process that you're that you outline and still be a good person?
I'm glad you brought that up. It goes right into that. I've always been confused by that. If you do a lot more digging, it doesn't actually say money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, right? Where we put money as the outcome as opposed to the means to the end, right? And I sort of think about it this way, where money's inert, right? It's not good. It's not bad. It just is, right? Where I look at what money does is money is a magnifier. Or you can also look at it as money is a mirror, right? Money doesn't change people. It just allows you to be more of what you already are, right? And there are broke jerks in the world and there are rich jerks in the world. The problem is we only get to see the rich ones, right? So we sort of associate with that, where if you're a jerk, having more money is just going to allow you to be more of a jerk, right? But if you're good and you're honest and you want to change the world, you want to help people, well, money will allow you to do more of that. It will magnify those intentions. And when it becomes a mirror, is as we pursue money, as we accumulate money, it will just reveal to us who we really are. And so we got to be careful a little bit with this. I view money as it's a stewardship, and it's something to be protected. It's something to be taken care of, and I need to be right myself before money will really follow. And so I don't view it as the root of all evil like a lot of people do. It doesn't change people. It magnifies, and it's a mirror.
So money is the Captain America serum. You're going to either come out as Captain America or Red Skull.
Or right? Red Skull, exactly.
I knew I could get away with that analogy because you said you were a nerd up front, so I figured you're probably a Marvel guy too.
100%. We actually take, me, Ryan, and Jimmy, we take our personas a little bit from that. Like, I've been kind of dubbed the Tony Stark. Ryan's the Captain America Freedom Fighter one, and then Jimmy's the Hulk. And if you ever meet Jimmy, you'll know exactly what I mean by that, that sometimes we let out the Hulk and he smashes. So yes, I totally align with that reference.
Perfect. So let's kind of aim this conversation a little bit at Brennan here. So like at the outset, Brennan is new to the game of home ownership. He is, by the way, he is absolutely phenomenal at what he does for us here. He turns ideas into finished product, graphic design, fully baked things in like a matter of minutes. That's his superpower. And he's going to look at me like, dude, shut up. Yeah, I don't do that. It'd take me a little longer. But anyway, go with the flow here. So he's engaged to be married. He's at the kind of the front end of life when it comes to those kind of adult things, right? But one thing that's all struck me is the time that I've known him, that he thinks things through, that if he doesn't know the process, he's going to learn the process and he's going to try the process. So let's take Brennan through, as you would take somebody through this kind of what's the process? What are we looking at? And what are some of the tips and tricks that he needs to know now to get on the road to financial freedom and managing things like the way he wants to manage them, to help him reveal the most amazing Brennan that he is?
Well, Ben, this isn't the normally way we do a podcast, but I actually really, really like it. If you noticed, the name of our company is Cashflow Tactics, right? And we named it that way on purpose because a lot of times you can hear a guru on stage or read a book and say, that sounds awesome. Well, now what do I do, right? Or you can go to the extreme other side where you find somebody with fancy degrees and lots of names, lots of letters after their name, and they'll just say, well, give me all your money, shut up, don't ask any questions, and I'll take care of it, right? And there's no middle ground. That's what we're trying to step in is really show the tactics behind managing and understanding our wealth and our money. So I think this will be a lot of fun. So the first thing I would do is I would, most people just want to get right down to the answer and say, well, what do I invest in? What's going to give me the best return? How am I going to make the most money? And that's not where we start. So Brendan, if you're asking the question, what do I do with my money? That's already exposing where we need to start. And where we need to start is in you, right? If you don't know what you want, then I mean, it's like the Cheshire Cat, right? In Alice in Wonderland, if you don't know where you want to go, then whatever path you take works, or it doesn't make any difference, right? So we would get really clear first and foremost in saying, well, what do you want, right? What does financial freedom look like for you? And you didn't know I was going to get personal with you on this, but I didn't know you were going to flip the script on me. So
why do you think I nominated Brendan for this and
yeah,
not me?
Yeah, good rebuttal. No, it's a good question. I think first and foremost, I think to be debt-free for now is kind of where my sights are kind of honing in on. And then once that's all said and done, I think we move to a bigger, longer-term picture at that point.
Okay. And that's a great answer. And we get that a lot. And I don't ever want to say like poo-poo somebody's response and say, oh, that's not good or anything like that. But I want to go one layer deeper and say, well, if you were debt-free, how would your life be different? How would you feel different about money? Like, what would that accomplish in the game of wealth? And I want to test and really see, well, is it really debt-free that we want, or is there something else there? What is it that we want out of becoming debt-free?
I think the freedom to move and to shake as I please, obviously barring employment and things of that nature, mm-hmm. everybody has their own, you know, hobbies and things that they look for. And, you know, one of mine is painting. Obviously being a creative person, you know, I have an expensive hobby that requires getting a lot of expensive tools on white canvas. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those things to, you know, as I grow and as I build, there's hobbies that get bigger. You know, I want to see the world. I want to, you know, spend time with family and friends more, things of that nature that mean a lot to me and help me grow as an individual.
Awesome. And not having that mortgage payment to have to pay to the bank, so which means you have to go to work and earn the income and pay your taxes and do all that kind of stuff. It gets you steps closer to being able to do that.
Yeah,
right?
Totally. Falls under the, you know, student loans and things like that. Mm-hmm. Obviously the house payment isn't going to get paid off right away, but where I'm right. kind of focusing on financially at the moment is to Perfect. Lean towards student loans and, awesome. You know, move from there.
Cool. Okay. So I want to reframe for just one second and I want to put into terms I think we can all can connect with, because I am absolutely not an artist. If it can't go into a spreadsheet, I can't process it and understand it, but it doesn't mean we don't both want essentially the same thing. What I hear you saying is that you want to own your time.
Yes.
Right? You want to wake up and make decisions based on what drives you, what motivates you, what matters to you, not solely, I have to go out and collect a paycheck so that I can XYZ.
Right.
Fair way to say it?
Yeah.
Cool. And that's exactly where we want to start, right? Is for us, the goal, the objective, the outcome, what financial freedom means to us is we get to own our time. And the way that we define that, so Brendan, this is the way we would define, we would start setting up the work that we would do with you would say, okay, what would it take for you to own your time? Okay.
Okay.
And we move out of the realm of what we're taught, which is net worth, right? I need a large net worth. I need a retirement account with X number of dollars in it. I need to be worth, you know, X amount on paper, and then I'll be free. Where we look at it as it's an equation that we need to solve, which is once our cash flow, once the returns from our investments exceed our expenses, our mm-hmm. monthly expenses, mm-hmm. then you effectively own 100% of your time.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to taking the balance sheet approach, let's say that you feel like you've done a great job. Let's fast forward 5 years from now. You'd be pretty happy if you owned, let's say, maybe $350,000 in assets.
Sure.
Right? That might be a pretty good number, right? Over the course of 5 years, it'd be a great number.
Yeah.
But if, let's say, your monthly expenses to live and pursue what you want to pursue, or let's say it's $100,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Well, if we now do the math of how much time you own, we take 350,000 divided by 100,000, you only owe 3.5 years of your time.
Right. Okay.
All of a sudden, not quite so impressive, right?
Right.
So we set the target with our clients in understanding what we want to pursue is how does it get me closer to owning our time? And we set that target. Mm-hmm. And that target for us, we put out 10 years out. We believe that if we follow the right principles, if we stay focused on what we're doing, we can get somebody to that stage of initial financial freedom in a matter of just 10 years. So we'd start by defining what that number is and then begin to reverse engineer their plan. Is that making sense?
Absolutely. So cool. I guess the one question I have, I'm guessing it's different for each person. Or is it does it fit kind of the same general, I guess, guideline for, say, if Craig was sitting in my position right now and we were breaking it down for him?
And that's what makes this both personal, but also a framework that anybody can follow, right? The amount of income we all need is going to be different because we all live different lives. We all have different hobbies. We want something different. But at the end of the day, whether you're Craig or Brendan or Brad or anybody listening, what we all want out of money to have it become that tool to build a life that we care about, to be able to pursue the things that matter to us, is again coming back to owning our time. Mm-hmm. So we may quantify that. We may need a different amount, but at the end of the day, as soon as your cash flow exceeds your expenses, no matter who you are, you're now free.
Okay.
And it's like a recipe, right? It's like a kitchen recipe where the yield is 8 muffins or 24 muffins.
Right.
Whatever your multiplier is, that's what you want. That's what we just about.
Yep. And that's very why cool. It doesn't matter how where you're starting from. This is why one of the biggest reframes we try to do with clients is get out of the world of, well, once I have money, then I'll talk to somebody about money.
Sure.
That's like chicken and the egg, right? You're never going to get there. Where what we really work to put in place, and it starts with setting what we call this strike number, and understanding that what we really need to pursue is cash flow, not growth accumulation. And that's where we get to really start collapsing time. We bring results into the present. That it then does become very formulaic, and we follow the process and we get the result just exactly like you said. But it doesn't matter. We don't, whether we're starting with nothing or we're starting with a lot, where everyone has to start is with a plan, mm-hmm. right? And have what we call a game plan. And again, it starts with defining what does financial freedom mean to you.
Okay. So like, we don't have to, we can generalize it. We don't have to really say it about me or anything, mm-hmm. but is there, I guess, walk me through some points of the plan, just so I have an understanding of how that looks for some yep. or most.
Yep. So there's kind of three phases to it and then a couple of components. So we start with this, with setting the objective. Where do we want to go? Mm-hmm. Right. And it's just like, think about pulling out your phone and pulling up Google Maps, right? There's two things that have to happen before it can give you the turn-by-turn directions that you're looking for, mm-hmm. right? First, it asks, where do you want to go, right? So we type in the address. This is where, so we're setting our definition of success.
Okay.
And it sounds really simple, but I want everybody to stop that's listening and think about it. Like, have you ever really sat and defined what your successful outcome with your money really is? And I think most would say that it's foggy at best, right? Well, they sure. want to make a return but most everything has been input focused. Well, you need to save X percent of your income. And then we just take we can't control the outcomes. And so we just have to take whatever we get. And the only control we have is how much we save. So getting out of that, we put in the destination. And then the next thing your phone does is it finds wherever you are right now. Right?
Right, right.
So part two of building a game plan is getting clear about where you are. What do you have? What are the things standing in the way of you making progress? What are the things that are working that we could maybe double down on? It's getting clear about what reality looks like. And then we get to measure phase three, which is the gap.
Okay.
From where we are now to where we want to be. And if that gap is small, well, the efforts and tweaks and adjustments we need to go through are fairly small and manageable. Mm-hmm. But if we find ourselves towing up to the edge of the Grand Canyon, well, we've got a little bit of work to do, right? And so the action steps we need to take, and this is why we can't answer the question, well, what should I invest in? Well, I don't know how big the gap is.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how far we're trying to go. I don't know what's required to get us there. And so this might come across as lazy, but I only want to do the amount of work that's necessary to get me where I want and no more.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? And same with finances. So until we know where we want to go and where we're at and what our gap looks like, we can't even get really started into the conversation.
Okay. Very interesting.
Okay. Then we'd roll into the next part. And a financial plan looks very, or it should anyway, look very similar to a business plan. It should look very similar to a weight loss plan, right? We need clearly defined goals and objectives that we're shooting for. So the way that we build our financial strategies for clients is once we have the gap, we break this down. We know what we want 10 years out, but that's too big, mm-hmm. right? We can't do anything on that tomorrow. So just like the principles we know, like the domino concept or the one thing principle, we break that down into 12-month objectives. What do we need to accomplish over the next 12 months to be that much closer to our goal?
Okay.
But even 12 months is pretty big, right?
Right.
So then we break that down into 90-day targets. And with our clients in our programs, we're doing nothing but working off of our 90-day targets. So we look out at our 10-year, are we on track? We have our 1 year that's kind of giving us a little bit more guidance, but then we're hedgehog heads down into a very manageable one or two things that we need to do in the next 90 days to move the needle. And after we accomplish those, we look up, we look at our 12-month, we look at our 10-year, and we reset and we set our next objectives. Where a lot of people go wrong with wealth, and I'm sure, Brandon, like this most likely applies to you. Now that you've got a house, you've got a student loan, you've been told that you need retirement accounts, and then you may have some other things, some other interests with money that you want to pursue, the limited savings is now stretched across four or five targets all at the same time.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Now, let me ask you this. Anywhere in life, if you've only focused minimally on something, do we ever really get a result?
Minimal at best.
Minimal, right?
Yeah.
When we diffuse our efforts, like I like to think back. Again, I grew up on a farm, so I had a lot of time as a kid to wander around. And I remember when I was 8, I found a magnifying glass. What does an 8-year-old do with a magnifying glass?
Burn ants.
Burn stuff.
Burn Absolutely. Ants, right? Exactly. Okay, good. I'm glad we're all on the same page. So that's all that it was good for. But in order to do that, we take the sunlight that's there all the time anyway, and there's two things that have to happen. We first have to focus that sunlight into that little white dot, mm-hmm. right? And if it's oblong or an hourglass shape, it's not going to get the job done. It has to be that perfect white circle, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And then that white circle has to stay on the same thing for long enough to catch it on fire.
Right.
The leaves are pretty easy because the leaves don't go anywhere. If we're trying to burn bugs, we got to pull the back legs off them so they can't go anywhere. And then you say I'm well-versed.
Pretty morbid.
This, right? Yeah.
I love it.
I didn't mean to get graphic.
I've never done that ever. Wink, wink, wink. Sorry,
right.
listeners.
And I'm not showing my 8-year-old how to do it right now, which is why I know all this. But then we have to leave it on there for long enough to get the outcome, right? And everything in life is the same way. Anytime we want an above average outcome, we have to do those two things. We have to focus our efforts and leave it there long enough to get the result. And so what we would do, Brendan, with you is we would pick that next target that we need to work on, and we would put a disproportionate effort on that target
okay.
so that we can get an outcome. And then when accomplished, we go on to the next one.
Right. Okay.
Rather than trying to diffuse everything and then get minimal results across the board.
So it kind of sounds to me, it's a simplified tactic that is kind of just done repeatedly in a way that just stacks the dominoes to just kind of repeat on end.
Exactly. Exactly.
The other thing too is that it's something that shows results in a short time period. We deal a right. lot with true detox where, you know, like I said, we talked a lot about like physically detoxing your body, and people want that 3-day cleanse. They want that quick mm-hmm. fix. And I'm sure with finances, if people are in debt or are just burdened by financial problems, they want a quick fix too. That's why so many people play the lottery, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the yep. quick fix. But that's not coming. If it's probably not coming for you. So I love this concept that we're looking at 90-day targets, part of a 12-month annual plan, part of a 10-year long-term plan, that I can see the end of the current thing at 90 days. I can say, okay, and then look back and say, okay, I accomplished this in 90 days, on to the next one, right? Mm-hmm. It's bite-sized pieces.
Yep. And it doesn't even matter whether we accomplished it or not, because if we didn't, it gives us a chance to say, well, what went wrong? And I need to learn and I need to make adjustments, right? Rather than the typical quote unquote plan, which is put money in an account, cross your fingers, don't look at it. Heaven forbid you pull it up and look at your account balance and then just hope that 40 years from now you wake up and everything's okay.
Yeah, right? I can't. Right. I'd rather look at the end of 90 days and say, what went wrong? How can I fix it? Than look at 40 years and say, oops, crap, what went wrong?
Yeah.
Exactly. That'd
you still
be
have
like
time
my 12-
to fix it.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be like my 12-year-old coming to me and saying, hey, Dad, I have a problem. I'm like, oh, let's deal with that 30 years from now, right? It's not going to work. And then you guys, same with health, right? We'd rather be taking measurements and looking now and making adjustments rather than being, you know, given that, you know, that whatever outcome at the end, that diagnosis at the end of something massive that we now can't deal with.
Right. Definitely.
100%.
So I was going to say, jump into the next step here. Again, we're kind of, now we segue from the 90 day, we're looking back, we're seeing what went wrong. What comes next then in this process?
So then, and this is where we probably frustrate the majority of our clients, because now we've done all this work, they get excited, they can see it, and they're like, all right, I want to, what do I do next? I say, well, all right. We can't even still get into products yet. And I firmly believe this. You guys in the medical world will resonate with this a lot. There's a saying I love in the medical world that is, prescription without diagnosis is malpractice.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So now we've got to go in and diagnose what the principles we need to follow, the formulas and the frameworks we need to follow. So after we get a client's game plan set up and structured, we know the elements that need to go into there. If we just dumped you into the products, we wouldn't have really done you that much of a service, because you didn't know what we'd be getting you into, right? And you'd still be totally dependent upon us. Where what our main goal at Cashflow Tactics is not financial freedom in 10 years or less, although that's what we sort of say that it is. Our real goal is to leave our clients empowered in the conversation of money. Okay. And if you have to look at me every time you want to make a financial decision, well, I'm not empowering you, right? So then we need to roll into the principles that we need to follow to be able to bridge that gap. And so if I'm going to focus, I need to know that the thing I'm focusing on is going to move the needle, right?
Yep.
So that's where we come in and we teach what we call the financial freedom formula. It's called the core four, the four pillars. And it's a framework that every time a dollar comes into our life, I know exactly the exact role it's supposed to play. And we think about it like a waterfall cascading down. Every time we go through, we just go through the same decision process, and we know exactly what that dollar should be doing. That way we get to take the emotion, we get to take the guesswork, we get to take the uncertainty out of it, because we know moving each piece forward. Mm-hmm. So we spend a lot of time. This is why we've created an entire financial suite. This is why we do weekly check-ins and coaching calls. This is why we lean so heavily into that, is if we can ingrain what true investing looks like, what true wealth principles look like, then it's much easier to start accomplishing our outcome. You're not relying on me. I want to become fully expendable inside of your game plan, right? And that's, so what we do is we spend time then teaching and training on what we call the financial freedom formula, probably outside the scope. We're already, you know, in well into the podcast, so outside the scope to really dive into what those are. But that's why I said at the beginning, if you ask me what to do with your money, we're already exposing that we don't understand the principles enough. Mm-hmm. And that's where we would then start. So we've got the game plan, we've got the vision, and we're going to spend time working inside and understanding the principles, which will then lead us to the application of those principles, which is in the products that we want to follow.
Right.
So then we can go find the types of deals, the types of products, the types of opportunities that have what we need inside of them. And then we'll, like I said, much, much more confidently be able to understand what our outcome is going to be.
Okay.
Amazing. Brad, I really appreciate the way that you've, I almost feel like we know like 7 of the 11 herbs and spices of your secret sauce.
Yeah, absolutely.
I suppose that's probably why it's not normal for you to do the format that you did, but man, I appreciate the effort here.
Yeah.
and it just makes sense. The plan makes sense. So again, to our listeners, this is Brad Gibb. He is with Cashflow Tactics, and you can find him actually on their Instagram at Cashflow Tactics. On Instagram, and cashflowtactics.com is their website. But Brad is you've got me thinking too. I'm here. I'm the old dog in the room here. But I've got 10 years left at least, so I'm considering this. But this is, again, folks that you're listening, there's a format to it. That to me is there's power in there's a process. And I know that there's so many little things in our society today. Trust the process, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's sports or some other thing, just trust the process. To me, I'm looking at all the different steps in the process, and maybe the toughest thing is the one that you finished off with. And to me, that's like, okay, that's going to get me to like, I need to dig a little deeper, and that is know where every single dollar that is coming in needs to go in your life, right? I'm going to need help on that one because I've got four kids. I've got a mortgage. Yep. I've got all these other things pulling out my dollars, right? And I go in my wallet and that dollar's been taken by a kid and turned into jelly beans or something. So this is critical. So I, again, to our listeners, I invite you to visit cashflowtactics.com, see what Brad and his team have put together there. If you are like me and you're listening to this thinking, this process, I think I can make this work, there's a reason why you're listening today. So go to cashflowtactics.com, give them a tumble. Brad, thank you so much. I'm gonna step up to the, since you're the guru, one parting shot, maybe your best piece of financial advice, whether you're young or old, that you wish you would have gotten very early on.
Yeah, here is by far the best financial advice I've ever given or I've ever received or acted on. Financial security, financial freedom does not lie external to you. And the greatest asset that we have that we can ever invest in is in ourselves. And that's where it starts. So permission to invest in yourself first and foremost as your greatest asset. I know it sounds backwards from a quote unquote money guy, right? Who should be saying, I'm going to give you my money, go do something else. But we have long discussions with our clients around how do you need to grow? How do you need to develop? How do you need to invest in yourself first before looking external? So you are your greatest asset and look for ways to invest and grow that first before you look external.
Awesome. Thank you, Brad. And again, folks, that should resonate with you as a listener, a regular listener to True Detox Podcast, because we always talk about investing in your own health. There's no greater investment there. You're probably already doing it with supplementation or some other thing.
Yep.
Now it's time to invest in yourself and find the financial detox that you've been looking for. So again, Brad, thank you so much for joining us today. And to my host, Brendan Rooks, thank you for joining us today and being our test subject.
No, thank you. It was nice to meet you, Brad. I appreciated the help. And it was nice to get a little walkthrough on your process.
All right. And as we sign off, we remind our listeners that True Detox is a journey,
not an event.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the True Detox Podcast. If you're not subscribed already, be sure to do that right now. If you've enjoyed this episode, please rate and review us. Your feedback is always welcome. Be sure to head over to truedetox.com for access to our Pillars of Detox roadmap, designed to help you get the most out of your detox efforts. Until next time, remember, True Detox is a journey, not an event.